So I've just arrived here in Honduras, in La Ceiba, Honduras. A horrible night. I didn't sleep all night, and the trap. I had some trouble. I missed flights, and I finally had to take a taxi here from the airport, like 3 hours. So I'm here now. So what I'm going to do is just read this to you guys, and then we'll talk about it. Sound good? All right. So he calls this plate theory. I call it dating non-exclusively, just so that people can understand, have an idea of what it's about. Plate theory is the idea of splitting plates, and he'll talk about it, but it's basically dating non-exclusively. So he starts off, and then it divides it into five sections. And the first section we're covering is abundance and scarcity. I forgot the book. I left it at home, so I had to get this on the internet. But I think this works better so that everybody can see what we're reading. So he says, spin more plates. This is the main premise behind plate theory. Imagine for a moment a plate spinner. They're kind of like jugglers, but require real finesse and dexterity to maintain a spinning plate along atop a long, thin stick. So now you got the idea. Spinning plates on a long, thin stick. Just like the plate spinner, a man needs to have a lot of simultaneous prospects spinning together. Think of each plate as a separate woman you are pursuing. Some fall off and break. Others you may wish to stop spinning altogether, and some may not spin as fast as you'd like. But the essence of plate theory is that a man is as confident and valuable as his options. This is the essence of the abundance mindset. Confidence is derived from options. The principle is the key, or this principle is the key to solving so many of the problems that dog the heels of beta average frustrated chumps and recovering average frustrated chumps. In fact, I would say that this ideology should be the cornerstone to success for a man in many facets of life, not simply attracting and keeping women. A man with options has power. And from these options and the sense of power, a natural sense of confidence will manifest itself. A man without options becomes necessitous. And this leads to a lack of confidence and a scarcity mentality. Necessitous men are never free. As we progress through this section, keep in mind the cardinal rule of relationships. In any relationship, the person with the most power is the one who needs the other least. When a man spins plates, when he has irons in the fire, when he is pursuing multiple women simultaneously, when he has options equally worth exploring, a man will have a natural, subconscious, but not exclusively, understanding that if one prospect does not expand, others very well may. This understanding has manifestations in a man's behavior that women key on covertly. There are mannerisms and attitudes that a man with options will subconsciously convey to prospective women that they interpret and give this man a value as a commodity for being competed for with other females. On my blog and in the pickup artist community, men are taught to emulate this behavior since it is a key element in attraction and interest. Being cocky and funny is one such technique that trains a confidence behavior that, more often than not, essentially mask a deficit of options. In other words, cocky and fun is a natural behavior for men with options that must be compensated for by those who don't. I'm not sure where this is going. This is why the natural alpha male seems to exude cocky and funny effortlessly, while those without the benefit of more spinning plates or the confidence in the ability of spinning plates struggle with simple things like eye contact or initiating approaches. There is also a fundamental principle in the I don't give a fuck mentality that pervades community technique. It's much easier to actually not give a fuck if you have other prospects going simultaneously. So now it's going to talk about shotgun logic. One very benefit that plate theory provides for a man is that it greatly curbs the propensity for one-itis, both in and out of a long-term relationship. Outside of a long-term relationship, most guys subscribe to what I call the sniper mentality. This is the average frustrated chump that applies all of his time, effort, and resources to patiently waiting out his target, waiting for that perfect opportunity to summon enough courage in the most precise of conditions to make his one shot at the girl who by then is the focus of his one-itis. This process can take anywhere from a few weeks to a few years in extreme cases, but all the while he voluntarily sacrifices his most valuable resource, potential opportunity. The man who subscribes to plate theory can more easily avoid this situation as he goes hunting for women with a shotgun, scattering as much influence across the broadest area possible, while the average frustrated chump fishes with a single line and a single hook. The plate theorist fishes with a trolling net, selecting fish worth keeping and tossing back those who aren't. Inside a long-term relationship, plate theory becomes more specified. The average frustrated chump placates and identifies with his partner because the balance has shifted to her advantage, since he reinforces her understanding that she is the only source of intimacy. I can't think of a better recipe for one-itis since he became progressively more dependent on her as his only source of intimacy. The man who maintains, at the very least, the covert perception of options, either professionally or on an intersex level, i.e. social proof that other women will compete for him, maintains this power balance. Most successful men have an innate understanding of this, and this explains their popular reservations for committing to marriage. In a long-term relationship, plate theory becomes a subtle dance of perception and recognizing how your partner interprets understanding a particular man's options. But regardless, it reduces a guy's tendency to regress into one-itis in a long-term relationship from his own self-perception and the confidence it inspires. Natural selection. So spinning plates allows you more opportunity to select from the largest pool of prospective choices and date them or drop them as you see fit. This has two benefits. First, it serves as valuable, though non-committed, experience for learning that a man requires for his own personal satisfaction. Experience teaches harsh, but it teaches best, and the breadth of experience serves a man well. Whose insight is more beneficial, the man who sailed over the world or the man who's never ventured beyond the lake? Secondly, opportunity and options make a man the prize. Rock stars, professional athletes, movie stars aren't irresistible to women because of their celebrity, but because they blatantly and with the highest form of social proof prove that they have options that other women would jealously compete for, as well as the confidence that this unconscious knowledge naturally manifests in them. So what plate theory is not? Critics of plate theory will often take a binary stance in their arguments, with this idea stating that they could never be with more than one woman at a time out of respect for her, or so I should just lie to her and see other girls on the side, to which I'd argue that these are feminized social conventions that attempt to thwart a man's options in order to establish and or maintain women as the prime selectors in intersexual relations. If it can be conditioned into a boy or a man to feel bad about seeing more than woman, one woman at a time, or non-exclusively in his relationships with women, it only better serves the female as chooser dynamic. To be sure, women are naturally the filters of their own intimacy, but it is essentially men who do the sexual selection. The common trope that women do the sexual selecting is false. It's just that men's side of the sexual selection equation is a threat to feminine primacy in sexual selection. The latent purpose of social conventions that sublimate men's sexual choosing are designed to put selection of intimacy on a conditional basis that favors women. And as long as men internalize this, woman will have a pre-constructed social high ground. The way to circumvent this dynamic is brutal honesty and a commitment to truthful non-exclusivity with the plate you're spinning. If you keep your options above board and are honest with any one girl and yourself about your choice to be non-exclusive, you not only remove the teeth from this convention, but you also reinforce yourself as a man with options, or at least perceived options. Further, critics will offer, well, gee, if I did that with any woman, she'd push me off and dump me, to which I refute. Not if you establish this honestly from the onset. Most guys who've swallowed the female power convention are too afraid to be preconditioned to even consider this as an option for seeing women. Letting women know or covertly perceive that you won't be exclusive to her pushes her commodity level up and implies options and potential success she'll compete with other women to be associated with. That said, play theory is also most definitely not a license to be indiscriminate with women. Just because you can spin a plate doesn't necessarily mean you should spin that plate. Some aren't worth spinning, and a man with options should have no reservation about letting one go for a better one or two. In fact, a man ought to be more discriminating in this regard, since it affords him the best available from the largest selection. So let's see what. So that's it. It's not that long. So, you know, I usually comment when I'm reading, but I neglected to do that. So now I don't remember what I was going to comment about. It's easier to comment when I'm thinking about it. But, well, Daniel, play theory, you know, that answer, I don't know that answer. I think play theory is his word for, the idea of dating non-exclusively. I don't know if he came up with all of this stuff or if it's been in the manosphere or, I mean, I think this red pill stuff has been going on for a while already. Evolutionary psychology has been around, and there were guys, and I just didn't listen to them, or I wasn't ready for it or whatever it was. But there's this guy, Tom Likas, who was around, I think in the, what was it, the 80s? I don't know, 70s? I don't know. But this stuff has been going on for a while. Who is the author of Play Theory, and where can I find additional reading materials? Well, I think Rollo Tomasi seems to be the guy who's coming up with this stuff, but I don't actually know where it actually came from. So, as far as I know, this is the source. But, I mean, we can look it up on the internet, too, and see if there are other sources. of this and other people talking about this and what its origins are. But I don't, I'm sorry, I don't really have an answer to that for you. So let's see, any other question? And if you would like, please, okay, here we go. Somebody's Daniel. I suppose that you accept reciprocity and therefore that women acting similarly, leading to a vast market of unsure relationships. And okay, I don't know if this is a separate comment or not. Yeah, I'm not sure if unsure relate. I don't know why would you need a relationship to be sure? I'm not sure. They're not sure. Relationships are not sure. Particularly with women, they're not sure. You know, with women, they could be here today, gone tomorrow. You know, there's one thing in here. She's not yours. It's just your turn. So, yes, if we could, Daniel, can you unmute and turn on your camera? That would be great. And you can address this. I'd love to have you address this.
Yeah, my camera is on already. I think you can see me, right?
Yes, I can see you.
All right.
I just, okay, there you
So,
go.
yeah. So, I doubt that women would be happy. Well, some women accept it, some women don't. Some women say, I want an exclusive relationship. Some say, I accept, but, I don't like it, right? Now, on the
No,
fact that relationships are certain, of course, they are not certain, like everything in life. However, with time, a relationship solidifies, right? And then you get married or not married. But, the solidity of relationships is a function of time and frequency, right? And the number of interactions that you have. So, if you When you meet someone, automatically it's new, so nothing is certain. But what I say by a vast market of insured relationships, I mean that if both parties are seeing each other, but they have no intention to be serious, right? And seriousness is connected with exclusivity, in my view, right? So
Yeah, well, okay.
if both are okay to have just fun, okay. That works very well. They're on the same page. Everything is fine. But if you want a serious relationship and commit to someone, it doesn't work. After a while, it will explode. And it happened to me. It exploded. It exploded because the woman said, I'm sorry, but you are looking at other women. I'm not enough for you. Bye-bye. And she was right. Right. So you have a frame, a conceptualization of the relationship, which is really weird, almost commercial, transactional. No, it's not a good. We're not in economics. We're not in a class of economics. We're talking about human feelings. So I don't understand your theory. Your frame is really weird to me.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for your comment and stay on because I want to talk to you about this. And I wanted to bring, there's other people commenting. So, you know, I'd like to, I think, yeah, Matthew, you want to put your hand up or come next? I'll get to you next. Okay, Matthew? Okay. So the idea that the woman's going to, I'd like to know more about what you said. You said you're looking at other women. Now that's a little different. Now, okay, will women be happy? This is an interesting thing. Because women would rather share a alpha a winner than be saddled with a loyal loser. Women are sharing men. They're only pursuing the top men, and they're competing for them. And women want to compete for men, compete do. Women want a man who other women want. It's called pre-selection. Women want a man who has the capability, at least, of being able to have other women interested in him. A woman does not want a man for whom, when no other woman is interested in him. Women want what other women want. And so it's interesting that they will tell you and they will be adamant because it's incredibly in their favor for them to have you date them for premature commitment, to make a premature commitment to them. And it really destroys that relationship because now they've lost respect for you. Now you, the only reason that you've made that commitment to them is because you have no other options. If you had other options, you wouldn't have made that commitment. So she's automatically lost respect for you at that point. If you think that she, yes, she's upset maybe, but like for instance, I'm dating three or four women. They all know I'm dating other women. You will be surprised. You will be surprised. You know, and you know, I'm not wasting my time with women who are holding out. I'm not wasting my time with women who want to lock me into what I call the one guy at a time train ride, you know, which means that if you don't have options, you're not going to get the best woman possible. You know, you're going to just hook up with one woman who comes along and that's it. And then she's going to dump you or you're going to break up and then no. And so it's quite a conundrum, but they aren't happy about it necessarily, but they're duplicitous. You know, they're going to tell you one thing, but what their real motivation is something else. You know, they're impressed by it, is what it is. Now, the point is here is that don't make a commitment prematurely. When you commit exclusively to a woman, you have made the commitment. You might as well be married. You might as well be married at that point because you have no other source of sexual access. You have no other, so she's your sole provider of sexual, and you are at her mercy. She decides, nope, you don't get any. She moves on, you're gone, right? You know, so you are in a weakened spot at that point. So I use this example. I don't know if it's a good example. My brother has like five, six children with three women. And he was dating these two women. He had two children with one children with another, married a third. But you know the wife he got? She's great. Head newsacre for Telemundo, beautiful. You know, sticks with him even though he gets sick, doesn't have a job sometimes. She's fantastic. Those other two women were lousy. When you start to date multiple women, you start to see what's out there. And what's out there is not very great. You know, so there are narcissists, there are entitled women, there are women who think you should just pay for shit for them, there are women taking advantage of you, there are prostitutes trying to take your money. So I think it behooves you to keep these women at arm's length in some ways, you know, until you're ready to make a commitment. That woman has not made any commitment to you. Has she committed not to, you know, pursue guy, have her backup plans, have her side guys, communicate with her ex-boyfriends? You know, women don't have to have sex to, and women date non-exclusively all the time. You know, they go on a date one night and next week, another guy takes him out on a date, you know? So it's not like they're not dating non-exclusively. Of course they are. And, but the commitment game, boom, they want you to commit. They'll try and make you commit right away. And it's a test to see how weak you are. Will you just capitulate? Will you just capitulate to that? And then, you know, the guy's got no options. You know? So that's really what's going on in a woman's mind. So yeah, they get pissed off. I don't know what happened particularly in your case, but they kind of say, well, I don't know, if you're not, and they'll pressure you really. They'll put it on. I had this woman tell me about this guy, okay, and she was trying to use it as a way to show how I should be, but I just told her that guy was an idiot, and I made this mistake myself too. He decided to pursue one woman, and he didn't feel it was right to pursue, had date somebody else while he was pursuing a relationship with another woman. That's a feminine construct. Okay. Because so what happens when you do that? I'll tell you what happens. Okay. You lose both women. That's what happens. You lose both of them. Okay. You lose the woman who you're going after because you've totally just too much interest in her, haven't left her any, you haven't played any game at all. And she's maybe you're just revealed. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do if you don't have game. And, she's just testing you to see what you'll do. She's not, does she made a commitment to you? Have you asked her, have you made a commitment to me? Is this forever? Or is this just, hey, let's do this for the time being? So when you think about it, it's just let's have sex for the time being. It's not a commitment at all. It's not even a long-term commitment. It's a short-term commitment. It's a commitment until it's over. It's a commitment. For now, we will be exclusive because we're having sex together. And then they start to use this thing about there's diseases. Well, we're not in COVID lockdown sexually. So yeah, they will express anger, but what's really going on inside and behind that is a different story. And yeah, they're frustrated by it. Sure, it gives you power. And that's the last thing they want you to have. They want to have the power. And in the relationship, they want to be able to tell you what to do. But then if they're able to do that, then they totally disrespect you. So it's kind of like, they want a guy who's gonna lead them. And if you're capitulating to them, you're not leading them. But there's a whole lot there. But I think it's worth reconsidering this because when you find out what's really happening in the female brain and mind, and that they actually like that you are able to get multiple other women, that they actually find that sexually stimulating and they want to compete for you. They don't want you to be easy to them because that means you're worthless. So I would consider that, there may be other ways of looking at it. It's very strange to people who have gotten hooked into this one guy at a time train ride mentality that women have imposed on us, only one at a time. We only do one. But no, you've got to date multiple, just like they date multiple men. Don't think they're not dating other men. They go out with you and they say, oh, you got to commit because you're a commitment phobic because you're a man. That's the first thing they say right out of the gate. They don't even know you. What the heck are they talking about committing? Are you committing just to have sex? Is that what you're committing to this person for? Just so you can have sex? No, don't do that. Make sure you can get sex elsewhere. And that way you can date a woman and not have sex with her and, and just turn that away. If she tries to say, I'm not having sex with you unless you're exclusive with me, fine. We don't have to have sex. I don't know how long I'm going to date you for, though, because the women I date because I end up dating because they have sex with me. So, but just something to think about, okay, Daniel?
It's not our party anymore. The Republican Party that made America safer, stronger. The party that put our security and American values first. A party born to expand liberty. A party of real free markets and economic growth that starts on Main Street, not rigged giveaways and special favors. Led by men and women of honor and courage, service and sacrifice. Leaders who never talk America down. That party is dead. We know why. We know who killed it. We're conservatives, not crazies. We believe in responsibility and accountability, in following the Constitution and the law, even when we don't like the results. We don't have to agree with Joe Biden on every policy issue. We won't. And when we don't, we'll say so. But so much is at stake in this election that it's time to put country over party and America over Trump.